Okay, it is 7:30. Let's get started. The meeting will come to order. I notice the presence of a quorum. First of all, minutes from the last meeting. Does anybody have any corrections or deletions or changes they want to see made? If not, the minutes will stand approved as submitted. The next thing on our agenda is a conversation about development fees. We heard Councilman Scala, Councilman Thomas a few weeks ago give us his perception about it. And I thought it would be reasonable, we all talked about this at the time, to hear from the development community about this. So I asked Randy to come and chat with us about that. My inclination is to let you go for a while and then involve other people in the conversation if anybody chooses to be involved in it. But because we specifically invited you, I want to give you the opportunity to go first and set out your thoughts on the subject, and then maybe open it up for questions from the task force, and then maybe a more generalized discussion.
Well, Tim's sitting in for Paul. So brought Tim Crockett with Crockett Engineering along today, so Tim would be part of the
conversation. That's perfectly fine.
So first of all, appreciate the city and you all taking time out to go through an issue that involves all of us. An issue that we all live in the same house, we all have the struggle with the same infrastructure issues that the city has and that are upcoming, and we know that we have some things that are on our horizon that we're going to have to deal with one way or another. And I know that listening to conversations and listening to points of view, knowing where we were with some development fees and some other items that are out there, we thought we'd come in today and talk a little bit about some of the folks that either we've worked, Tim and I more work for them, we're not truly developers per se. But more working in that development community, as it were. So that being said, from our perspective, we are working for folks that are putting in remodeling. We're working for folks that are doing subdivisions. We're working for folks that are putting new buildings downtown, inside the Columbia and outside of Columbia. Some of these are existing businesses that are here that we work for. And some of them are folks that are coming from out of town that come in. What we see on a day-to-day basis here is from our perspective, a couple of issues that have come up. And they're two separate ones. We have, if we're talking about infrastructure that was existing, whether we added another person to this town or not, many in the development community are of the opinion that we didn't take care of what we inherited. That's been here for years and years and years. And for one reason or another, there's some things, whether there was another person show up in town or not, needed some care. There's other parts of infrastructure that are stressed and changed by the fact that we have a 2% or 2.5% growth of population in the community. Something that has been going on for I don't know how many years now, and we're now well over 100,000. People. Hopefully each one of those additional demographic as they go up are buying and selling and paying sales tax, paying property tax, and paying fees that are generated by the city. In terms of the building permits and things that we do, we know that you are well aware of the fees that are out there that we pay. And I think the committee's probably also aware that in most developments and often in the construction side of it, there are off-site improvements that are paid for as well as the on-site improvements that are paid for. So without going into great deal of detail with regards to new subdivisions, I'll let Tim talk a little bit about what the developer pays for. And I'll talk about a little bit about what the build, or the owner may do when he's building a building, what he's going to pay for. And then I think we can talk a little bit after that about perhaps some solutions that I think would come out of that the development community, the building community, those who want to add on to their businesses or whatever would be might be willing to look at.
As Randy indicated, you know, we certainly are not oblivious to the fact that we have aging infrastructure, that we have facilities in this community that are degraded or falling apart and need repair. We understand that. The development community is not blind to the fact that this community is growing and there is increased burden put on the infrastructure in this community. I don't think the development community is going to walk away from that and say, hey, it's not our responsibility. This is the city's 100% on the city side to take care of and maintain and manage. You know, we're doing enough. You may have some development folks that have that impression or have that feeling, but I think that all in all, I think developers understand that, you know, for development to continue to take place in this community, we have to take care of our infrastructure system. You know, our roads, our sewer, our water, you know, all of our infrastructure. You're very much aware of the issues at hand more than anybody else probably. How are we going to take care of it? Who's responsible? How are we going to break up this pie? We don't know. I think that the development community is willing to come to the table and say, hey, what can we do? They're going to want a few things. They're going to want to make sure that, hey, if we pay some fees into infrastructure, we got to make sure that money is being utilized properly. We got to make sure that there is actual infrastructure improvements being made. We've got to make sure that money is being spent wisely and spent what it's intended, what it's being paid for, what the intention is, or the intent of that money being charged, make sure that it goes toward improvements. And that's the big thing. I think we've seen that before in the past in this community where maybe the fees weren't quite associated, weren't directed to where they needed to go. The improvements weren't made. We've got to change that. We've got to make sure that the improvements are made, you know, where they go. Is the development community willing to come to the table a little bit? I think absolutely. I think that, you know, in my discussions with my clients, with my developers, I think that they understand that for the most part. Where can we meet in the middle? I know that Councilman Thomas have had several conversations with him about this very thing. You know, I think that, you know, his numbers may be a little higher than what, or I know they're a little higher than what most people in the development community believe they should be. What is that number? We don't know yet. We don't know. But what we pay in now is, can we increase that a little bit? Potentially. I think the development committee wants to come to the table because we know exactly what Randy's indicated is we're getting hit for off-site improvements on every project. And those off-site improvements, you know, are they solving the problem? No, they're really not. But is a fee going to solve that problem? Probably not. But what we're looking for is if we start increasing the fees and it's there to solve to serve a purpose, to solve a problem, we've got to make sure that on the back side of things that we're not continually getting the off-site improvements getting hit all the time as well. And so I think it's a twofold. I think the development would like to see it because if they do something along those lines, it is, I guess it's more more predictable in development community. One of my clients can take a piece of property. They know what it's going to take. They know what is to be expected of them. They don't have to wait till they go through P&Z and council or go through staff review to determine that they're going to get hit with $475,000 worth of off-site improvements that was never anticipated. That's a big issue that they're having right now. And if it's something that we can you know, flush out up front, that's great. But what we can't have is have a fee that gets initiated, that gets charged, that we know we're going to pay, and then turn around and get the off-site improvements hit to us again. That's a big fear. That's a big concern, and that's something that I think that if we move forward, or I think needs to do, I think it's going to be a big concern the development community has.
Well, and as a specific example, the Nye Farm Medical Plaza that the trustees built, they paid over $1 million to improve the intersection of Nye Farm and Forum. That was slated for the city to improve, but it had not made it to that priority point yet. There was others in front of it before it was to be done. So for them to go ahead and be able to open up that site, they had to improve that intersection for both entrances and exits. That money will not come back to them. That money is money that they invested in those infrastructure in that part of the roads, the repairs that were there. As you all also know, probably the most all of the subdivisions that are put in, Tim, they're putting in all of the sewer, water, streets, stormwater, are all a part of the investment by the developers that are putting in these subdivisions. These are brand new that are there, and these are lots and properties that will be paying taxes and will be paying sewer fees and water forever, more than likely, and should generate money. There are certainly water co-ops, electric co-ops, and others out there that are successful at expanding their infrastructure without burdening more and more in terms of those that want to build or have property that they want to move forward and cost the consumer on the front end instead of putting it out there in a successful rate change, in a successful a bond that could be passed, that can be paid by all. And I think these are other solutions besides the fact, and I'm like Tim, I think the development community, the builders that are out there, I think some fee is something that could be discussed. But it has to be along with how's the money going to be spent? Are we really going to, or can we really earmark that money for that? It's not just to pay for engineering and studies and whatever, but actually projects can get done and something gets done. And if that's done, I think that the folks out there, it'll be a lot easier to convince them that paying more up front would have some value.
Questions?
I've got one.
Please.
How would you, defining particular projects that get done with the development fees, how do you see that working? Like which projects would be identified, and would you?
I think that's something that's going to be based on what the city identifies. I don't think a specific development should be the one that dictates what projects do or don't get done. I mean, it's a much global issue than that. If a development were to pay into the pay a fee into the fund, obviously that maybe those improvements don't get made right away because there's not enough fees to do a large project. Take for example a Scott Boulevard. There's a lot of developments happened over Scott Boulevard in the last 10, 15 years. If there were these fees associated with that, Scott Boulevard could be paid for by the development community that had paid for those fees. And it's going to take some time to accumulate those funds to pay for those improvements, but it can certainly be done over a period of time. But everybody has to pay in together, knowing they're going toward a common goal, for the common good. So who's going to identify those? I think that needs to be on the city's behalf because it's a much larger, much global issue than simply each individual development. These improvements, while I'm not a big advocate for pushing the improvements all the way across town to fix something all the way across town, if development is occurring in the Southwest, those fees need to go in the Southwest. I'm not saying that right in front of that development, not immediately adjacent to that development, but somewhere in the vicinity of the Southwest. If it's in the Northeast, those funds need to be spent in the Northeast. They need to be spent in that area where they're taking place, is my opinion. I don't think we need to, to some degree, we got to have some latitude. Right? We can't say that funds can't be moved around a little bit, but I think developers are going to say, if I'm paying into this, I want to see improvements within reason, within this general vicinity being made. And I think that if those are done and they can see the improvements, I think that you're going to see developers say, hey, my money is being spent, my money, the fees that are being paid is being spent wisely.
And we can see that. Earmarking the funds, so that regardless of what part of town it's been in.
Right, and I'm not saying that the funds have to be earmarked immediately. When a development comes in and those end users, however the fee is assessed or charged,
right.
that money does not have to be assessed, and again, this is my opinion, does not have to be assessed toward a specific project at that time, but knowing that it's going to go toward a project, the city could have a list of projects that need to be done in that area.
What if you run into...
Please.
If this is way off base, excuse me, but if we've got project needs here, but all the development's here, this is the bigger needs. We've been waiting longer.
Well, I mean, I think
you can't have it here until you have it.
I think that's a great example of what Randy kind of started out with, is that we have needs right now. We have a tremendous amount of needs right now.
Everywhere.
And the development community cannot fix those needs. The development community is only going to be one piece of this whole pie. The development community can't you can't really, we can't rely on the development community to fix all the problems and assess and, you know, fix all the infrastructure. We can only be one piece of the entire pie. I think there's got to be several entities, many entities that go together to solve this. But the development community can certainly be one of those entities. But exactly what Randy was saying, if we have a large need in a different portion of town but no development is taking place up there, that most likely is a pre-existing condition. The development community can't make, you know, the term has been used, make up for past sins. We can't do that. We can't, you know, what we can do is try to the best we can moving forward to solve the problems that we can. We can't go back and make up, the development community can't fund all the projects that are needed in the downtown area. The downtown projects can help with that. But developments that are in the outlying areas of town and in different wards, you know, a development in Mr. Scala's ward, you know, that money needs to go for improvements in Mr. Scala's ward. I don't think that money should be spent in Ms. Nauser's ward. I think it needs to be spent up in that area where those impacts are being made.
The other concern is that I'm not sure that development fees are a reliable source of income from economic swings. And if the fees are too high, you're going to slow it down. Economic swings are going to slow it down. It's unreliable money. I can tell you from 2008, 2010, what business was like compared to what it is today. And it's cyclical, and it will go that way again. And after some recent events here in our town and it appears we're going to have a decline in student population. So that's going to slow some things down. Whereas bonding monies, continuing fees on properties, things like that, is more reliable in terms of how we're going to get things fixed and paid for.
If I try to meld together what Ian told us and what you are telling us, now correct me if I'm wrong about this, but it seems to me as though apex of the ideal position would be where the taxpayers in general do not subsidize the new development folks, the new developers of the new project, and the new development people do not subsidize the community in general. What they end up doing is paying for the cost, both direct and indirect, that this development will cost the city of Columbia. Is that an accurate look at this, as what would be the ideal goal?
I think so. I think there is, again, ongoing fees and income from those areas that are developed, sales tax, other things that are going to continue if it is commercial.
That implies, doesn't it? For example, if you put a subdivision in, that subdivision will maybe not immediately, but over time, increase the burden on the water treatment facilities. So isn't it fair to say that implies some contribution toward the ultimate need to upgrade that facility?
It
Same
does.
With water.
It does. So are you saying that they would no longer pay a sewer fee? What are they paying the sewer fee for? Is would be the question.
I could be wrong about this, and I think we pay the sewer fee to operate the current system and to put some money aside for the ultimate need, in a perfect world, for the improved sewer. But when I put my new development in, I move forward by X days or weeks or years, the point at which that new sewer facility is going to have to. And then I think maybe I incur some obligation there. Am I wrong about that? Do you think I'm wrong about that?
Chris, I think we need to if we have a consistent growth rate, whether it's 1%, 2%, 2.5%, we need to take that growth factor into account when we're talking about, you're saying we're going to move the improvements needed up by X days, X weeks, X
because
years.
Because of its new 150 houses.
Right? 150 new houses.
Right.
My take is we should be able to project those 150 houses well in advance. We should have some growth rate projections, knowing that we're going to grow, this community is going to grow. So if we add 150 new homes online, we shouldn't say, well, we just moved the improvements up by so many days. Now then, if we're projecting a 2% growth rate and we grow by 3%, okay, then that's a different ballgame. That's something we didn't project quite right. But if we're projected at 2%, and we're pretty close to that 2%, you know, we shouldn't be moving those improvements up, because we should already have taken into account when those improvements are going to be needed based on
sure.
the growth rate.
Okay, that's fair.
You know,
but still, doesn't the new development, or does the new development bear some obligation, not just in the payment of the ongoing maintenance of the sewer system as it exists, but also toward the future, because they come in late.
Right.
They're coming in later, and should they not bear a piece of that action?
Yeah, I believe potentially. I mean, I think we need to look at that, and I guess my question is, I'm not really familiar. We have connection fees right now, sewer connection fees.
Yeah.
Where are those fees? What are those allocated toward?
I think that's primarily for running. Correct me, you guys, if I'm wrong about this. I think that's primarily for running the system, but there's some factor built in there, knowing that when sometime in the future we'll need to do, you know, upgrades or a new plant or whatever. Is that fair to say?
The way we always look at it, you're buying into the system.
Okay, so John, you're saying it's our buy-in to the system, but is any of that money geared toward expansion of that system? I guess that's my question, because if we don't have those 150 new homes, you still have roughly the same expense of running the existing treatment facility.
We always have to have capacity in the system, built into the system.
Right.
And so
those fees are basically buying and reserving that extra capacity. So I guess, Chris. Okay, so Chris, that kind of, to me, that answers your question, is those connection fees are being paid to always increase additional capacity in that sewer system, in that treatment facility, so there's always capacity there for those new connections. So while this 150 unit development we're talking about, it's using enough capacity that's already there, but the connection fees are there to increase it for the next 150. And so,
does
well. There's one exception with that.
Yeah.
The exception would be, you know, obviously either through rate or through the connection fee builds capacity of the treatment plant, and the development would build the infrastructure within the development itself. But that development creates a burden on the piping system up to that. So, the infrastructure that builds up to the development may need to be expanded or extended in order to serve that. So there has to be a fee mechanism that comes in there. Because of the development, not through the ratepayer. The ratepayer is already built into the plant. And
yeah.
So sometimes when you talk about a development, it goes above and beyond the geographical footprint of the development into other areas to serve that.
I would agree with that statement.
So I think there needs to be a fee development for that in order to achieve that. Because the ratepayer shouldn't bear that burden, because, you know,
and that is a good point.
I do agree.
Now, I would agree with that.
It's going to pay for usage and capacity in the future, but my rate shouldn't pay to build a new development on the other side of town.
Isn't that what the increase in the sewer connection fees, you know, from $400 to $800 to all the way up to $2,400, what it's going to be in a couple of years? Isn't that what that was kind of intended for?
It was based on a cost of service study of what others were paying. What we had in our system for capital and those things. It's based on everything that we're trying to do.
For capital.
Yeah.
Capital improvements.
Okay. I'm going to come to you after.
That's everything. Totally.
After a while.
The rate.
The deal.
Not the rate. That's maintenance.
Well, it's part of everything. Everything's rolled into that.
I really intended for these. I mean,
absolutely.
Ian came and gave his riff, and I want to make sure these guys have a full and opportunity. Ben, you want to put in some sense here?
Well, for 15 years, I've been working on infrastructure costs. And what I'm hearing tonight really surprises me. First, some of the comments you made surprised me, and these gentlemen surprised me, because what I'm hearing is what I've been arguing for 15 years.
Which is what?
There are fees associated with growth.
Yes.
There's, there's a cost. And I'm going to hand out something to you later.
Okay.
And the question is, should the developer who's creating those costs or the owner of a house actually ends up paying for it, or the owner of a shopping center or whatever, they're going to end up paying for it. Those fees are to buy into the system. If the system is already built, like the sewer plant just finished, that for the next 20 years, people who attach to it are actually buying into a system that already exists, and it was built that way because it's just doesn't make sense to just add it as you need it.
Right.
And this occurs in all the different kinds of development.
Right.
I think that money should be spent somewhere in the vicinity of where that development is occurring. The city now, and I understand why they do it, there's hardly any money. But that money is spent wherever they need it. In fact, it's usually just used as supplement other money because it's not enough. But if the fees were high enough, then it would become significant. And, excuse me. And I think it should be spent on infrastructure that has some. You could make an argument that this particular development is either buying into infrastructure that already exists, capacity that exists, or they're going to pay for upgrades that occur in the future. But it should be. They should be able to see that it has some benefit to them. So that's what I heard here that I was surprised at. I like what I heard.
Let me be the devil's advocate.
Sure.
I live out by Battle School, say. The sewer plant is a long damn way from my house. If you're saying it's got to be in the third ward or whatever, it's not going to be.
Well, I understand.
For streets.
The sewer plant is for the whole city.
Same with electricity, though.
And the electricity.
Same with water, stormwater.
The sewer plant, the water plant, and the electric facility, you've got to have those, and they benefit the whole city. The new development downtown, for example, they had to bring in new wires so there was more capacity.
Right, right.
And they're building more sewers in the Flat Branch sewer line. If you've noticed, they've already cut the trees. I understand that trees have to be cut at a certain time of the year so it doesn't affect the mating of the birds and so forth. But anyway, besides, you've got the distribution or the collection system, you've got the sewer plant or wastewater treatment plant
or electric
and so forth. Those are two different parts of the same system. You've got the sewer plant and all the sewers. And some of the money for every one of those built houses that are built should go towards either buying into the sewer plant or preparing to build it bigger later.
It's what these guys are saying, though, that also makes a lot of sense is, hey, look, we know you have 100-year-old clay pipes for stormwater out of parts of downtown. That ought not be our responsibility.
I believe in that. That's exactly right.
And so I heard you say
right. If Columbia did not grow another single person, as Randy indicated, right now today we have infrastructure problems. And those are the problems of every resident of this town must take on. We all must get together and say we have infrastructure problems that we have to address. Whether development occurs or does not occur, we have infrastructure problems that we have to address. How we got there, why they occur, we have to look beyond that and say we have to solve these problems. We can't go out and say this is developers' issues, that we have to rely on the development community to fix all of these issues. No. What we have to look at is making sure that developers make sure that we don't continue to make this problem worse and worse and worse all the time. Now, where do we get there and how do we get into the middle and what is equitable for everybody to share? That's yet to be determined. But I think that the development community and the clients that I have talked to are willing to be a part of the solution and not continue to be part of the problem. We just have to make sure that they're going to want something for that. They're going to want to make sure that the money that they are assessed is being spent properly and wisely.
Luke, you say that several times. Is there evidence to believe, I want to come to you, is there evidence to believe that the city over time has generally misdirected the money?
Yes.
I'm going to look at the stormwater tax, the stormwater fee.
Yeah. What about it?
I think that fixed a lot. I mean, I think that it was basically my understanding, and I could be wrong. John, you may want to correct me on this if I'm incorrect. It's just my belief. Is everyone thought that, well, we have basically free discharge. We have no stormwater regulations. We have outdated stormwater regulations. And I'll be the biggest advocate for the new regulations. They're much better than what they once were. But we basically had free discharge. We do a development, single family residential, commercial, student housing, I don't care. We collect all the stormwater, throw it in the pipe, and send it downstream. We don't do any detention. We don't care. It's gone. Off our property, out of sight, out of mind. But when we have a stormwater fee that we pay, that's going to put in regional detention facilities. Well, not nearly as many detention facilities was built as was needed.
In the bad old days.
In the old days.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so the perception, now where that money went, I don't know. I haven't looked into it. I'm not digging into it. I don't know where it goes. But the perception is in the development community that we paid all these fees, but nothing was ever built with it. Now, maybe it was, and maybe every dime could be can be accounted for, and it could be certainly justified. But it's the perception, Chris, is that money that
I agree that
hard infrastructure was not done. What we need is if we're going to pay an infrastructure fee, we want to see infrastructure improvements. We want to see new roads. We want to see new power lines. We want to see increased power lines. You know, more trunk sewers. We want to see more capacity being built in for what we're being paid for. It has to be the perception. That's what the developers are going to want to see.
I agree that is the perception in the development community. Mm-hmm. And here's what I think about that. I think that is precisely similar, identical to everything, to what everybody said about every tax in my entire time in the legislature, is that, well, we don't know what they did with the money. Mm-hmm. And what they did with the money is they made it go. You know, and I think that's kind of an easy out. On the other hand, I think you guys say something else that's really, really important. And these guys have all emphasized this. You're very unhappy, and I think maybe correctly so, about the lack of predictability in what you might have to
Absolutely.
Pay.
And it, we are very unsatisfied with the unpredictability. And I think we understand why it's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. We understand why we're being asked to do all these offsite improvements. We understand that there's needs and there's impacts and they're not being addressed any other way. We understand that. While unpredictable, we understand that we're trying to get away from that.
But you still like it to be more predictable.
I'm sorry?
You still like it to be way more predictable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anyone would like, any kind of predictability would be great.
Well, where do I start with this? Let's start with predictability. I think predictability is going to be addressed in a big way this summer with the unified development codes. That is the whole point of this. And frankly, you probably would be shocked to hear me say that I'm kind of in the middle on this. Probably not as I don't know what Ian said on this whole thing. I don't expect you to pay for all the sins of everybody. I really don't. I expect you to be a part of the community, mm-hmm. and everybody pays for the sins of what already exists.
Absolutely.
But we tried this in 2014. We tried to target these areas with a modest development fee increase that was based on trip generation. You remember the whole thing. I mean, it was a huge boogeyman. It was far too complicated. Frankly, I will tell you that I will push in 2017 to have another development fee increase, notwithstanding the recommendations of this group. Very simple. Maybe something on the order of $1 for a residential and $1.50 or $2 or something like that for commercial. All I'm saying is...
I think you would be surprised to find that you may hear agreement on this side and you may hear some agreement on them.
I thought that was the case as well. There were a lot of people on board that were going to come on board in 2014, Rob Wolverton, until he got orders from Bob Pugh and a few other people not to participate. There was $150,000 spent, raised, in the last 2 weeks of that campaign to make sure that did not happen. Let me just say this. Development When it comes to new development, and I'm just talking about new development, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about your responsibilities for everybody else's stuff. We in the last infrastructure task force that I served on, when I served on this, and so did Ben Londering. It was one of the reasons for the minority report, because when we asked Paula Hertwig Hopkins, who was a staff member for that committee, after a question from Bob Walter as to whether or not development paid for itself, the answer came back that it did not, that we were subsidizing it.
Yeah, here's a thing. Remember a little while ago I said, you guys should get over this. We don't know where the money was spent, because that's in the past. I also think maybe it's worth getting over the fact that we got beaten some elections before.
Maybe.
And we look going forward, because I think what that does is it detracts from coming to a common
that's
place.
Not what we're talking about. Okay. We're talking about here predictability, yes. And how we move forward here.
I think the fundamental flaw in the $1.50, $2 trip generation ballot issue was there was no guarantee in the development community that there wasn't going to be still going to be the negotiation on the table.
Well, and that's the other issue. This whole thing about exactions, you know, this has a long history as well, and you know this. This was all about negotiated relations when it comes to planning and zoning, essentially. We kind of moved away from standard zoning or an open zoning or fixed zoning, if you will, to negotiated zoning. And that benefited both sides to some degree. It also is a headache for both sides. Because then you get this negotiation means that there is no predictability, which is the very thing that you want. I want predictability for some of this stuff. I don't want to have to negotiate everything as well. I suspect we're going to head in that direction with this unified code. On the other hand, I think we need to preserve some flexibility for some special occasions and so on when it comes to the zoning. That's another challenge that we have. I know what you want. I would like to give you some of what
sure.
you want. I think we need something in exchange for that. And in exchange for that, we need the capacity to build in to dealing with some of the infrastructure problems that we have. We need your contribution. All I've heard from the development community is how we agree with you. We're going to have to contribute something towards this
okay.
problem.
Well, Carl,
and yet that has not happened.
Well, let me go back to your comment that you had about the 2014 election. You said it was way complicated, and it was. It was too complicated, and that's where you lost a lot of people.
Absolutely.
But if we come back together with something that makes sense, you can sit there and say,
that's another thing that I kind of object to.
I'm sorry. I don't mean the element didn't make sense. The element didn't make sense. If it was easier to understand,
The thing about we should do this, and I've been accused of never talking to anybody about this plan and all the rest of it. I went before several, I had my dog and pony show and talked about this. Yes, I admit it was flawed. All of it was flawed. We will come back with something simpler. But the fact that we never talked to anybody, never talked to the development community and all the rest of it. I mean, I had lunches with all kinds of people. We had meetings with the Emerging Issues Committee. We had meetings with CMDC. We had meetings with all these groups. It's just nonsense to suggest that this was not a part of the conversation. You folks simply didn't like what was offered. I agree. I understand that. And the voters rejected it. They should have rejected it. But I'm telling you that we're going to have to need more than just this promise of, yes, we promise we're going to cooperate with this, and we need to make a contribution. That's true. You do. And frankly, my view of that contribution was not even probably as radical, perhaps, as Ian's, in terms of the amount of subsidy that we're talking about when it comes to roads in particular, maybe somewhere around the 75 or 80% level. I would just, that development fee was just to ease that off to maybe a 60% level, where the folks would pay for 60% of this and you would have an increased fee. That was not acceptable.
You know, I'd rather kind of, for a while at least, stay on the more general philosophical. I want to drive toward that, and I think then we can drill down as we go along towards the specific, because we won't play a role, the task force won't play a role, at least directly, in coming to whatever the product is. I think that'll be those who push for a higher rate and the development community at some point we'll have to do what you two guys were just doing now.
Well, you play a role in terms of the recommendations and yes. the considerations and so on.
Can I say one thing? Just like a situation in particular, over by D&H on West Broadway, all of the infrastructure on Sunset and Hillside, all of the streets were torn up, all of the sewerways are done, all of this work was done, millions of dollars, and I don't know the exact dollar amount, but Scully, you say pay for the sins that already exist. There was no development charge, no development fee charge there. There was no new houses. There was no new taxes. There was nothing to pay for that, and it just fell by the wayside. Who paid for all of that? And it gets pushed. Yeah, we all did. But now because that's in the inner city here, now we're looking to the new developments to help cover all of that cost. I don't find that.
Randy gave an example of the development, and there are examples when the development fee has exactions, and I know you hate exactions, and frankly, I don't like them either. I mean, I wish there was some other way to deal with this. But a good example of this was with the Links development. You may remember the Links development. It was one of the first out-of-town developments that came from, I think it was from Arkansas. They were supposed to handle all of the engineering and so on. It was supposed to happen in three phases. They decided that the market dictated that they had to do it right away. You may remember there was a co-ed that died because they could not handle the box culvert that they were supposed to put in. And that road, which is Clark Lane, that was right in the middle of that project. I disagreed with the vote on the Links development when I was on the Planning and Zoning Commission, not because they shouldn't be there and shouldn't develop this, but because they didn't put enough money into that road. That road is a $9 million road that they put in about $1.5 million for, and you paid for the rest of it. It's a beautiful road. It's terrific. I mean, that part of Clark Lane is great. I'm just saying that's an example on the other side of this equation. That was an exaction that was not sufficient to deal with that, and that the development benefited from that. You know, you have to also remember, it's true that you put in all the roads for all these developments, no question about it. But that's, you know, that winds up to be kind of a short-term gain for maintenance that occurs in perpetuity. And that maintenance cost is killing us. We have to figure out some way to share these responsibilities to some degree.
Are we all avoiding a gorilla in the room? And that is, that take for example the stormwater tax that I worked hard on in the spring. Everybody in this room knows that it was important to do and it still wasn't enough. Yeah. Are we avoiding the fact that people just don't want to pay taxes?
Sure. Of course.
Yeah,
well, they don't want their utility rates to increase either.
That's right.
And so it's a...
Earlier you asked if the developers were putting money into the coffers and that money was being used elsewhere. In 1993, when the stormwater tax was passed, the money that was going to come in was allocated for something like 90 projects, existing problems. And all of the money that came from our utility bills, as well as all of the development fees, went into fixing those 90 projects. Well, then we put in 2007 and 8, we put in stormwater and buffer zone and that so forth. And developers no longer could let more water leave their site than occurred prior to development. However, and I think they're doing that, and yet we're still charging them a stormwater development fee. Now, isn't that double taxation, where you have to fix it so it's right, and then...
I think I asked Dave Sorrell about this, and he said that they are not. But whether or not this is true, this is what he said, was that they are not, the developers are not being charged that tax anymore if they provide stormwater.
Okay, well, that's relatively new then, because when I was on the task force for stormwater, that fee was still being charged.
Yeah, Cody, I may be wrong, but I agree with Brent. I thought that tax was being still charged at the building permit.
Yeah, because I've talked to people that it was too, and I asked her up, and he said it was not, but.
I don't know for sure. I thought it had been.
I have a couple of questions. The first would be, you know, talking about establishing a more defined fee higher than we have today, and hearing that you need more clarity, more definition, would it help if the monies that were generated from the collection of those fees be defined to a specific category of infrastructure improvements? For example, it shouldn't really go into maintenance, but it should go into expansion or extension of those utilities or road systems to feed that, but not to the base maintenance of the entire system. Because I look at the entire rate system through the taxes or the utilities we pay, should pay for the maintenance of the existing system. Even the new rate payers and taxpayers are coming on board with the development. Is that something that you're looking at? Could that be defined that way?
I think it would be. I think that'd be a great way to do it, is have it defined.
That I think that, and I see this because I manage the university's infrastructure, is that we will build on one location, but that money might be spent on another part of campus. And that could happen in the community as well, because where the infrastructure needs are the greatest, it may not always happen in the development where you're
building. Well, I think it really needs to look at what utility are we specifically looking for. If, take Carl, for example, we have a development in the Third Ward where all the sanitary sewer runs from the Third Ward, basically runs through the middle of town to the treatment plant. Well, it runs right through Kim's neighborhood. And Kim, you know, we know certainly well that we have sewer issues in that vicinity. Does that mean that those improvements can't be made downstream, or that needs to upsize the, you know, put another trunk sewer in to accommodate that? Well, does that mean that that's in Carl's ward? No, not necessarily, but it's serving that purpose. So does that, likewise, does that mean that a road, I mean, I look at roads a little bit different, are we going to improve Scott Boulevard with those funds, because those folks will eventually drive Scott Boulevard? No, I don't like that idea. I like it being more centralized.
Yeah, I think the utilities are a little easier to find on that, because
right,
they have upstream, downstream impact. The other second part of my question is, and we talked in the group with the city's involvement, is what happens as far as, you know, and I think that the fees could be more defined, but there's always the unintended consequences of construction. And when we were talking about feeder roads, either single or multiple feeder roads. So you're coming in, you're developing a new subdivision. The roads are in a fair condition. They may be in different grades at that given time, but when the construction's done, after you move heavy equipment across that, those roads aren't in very good condition anymore. How would you recommend that the city provide funds to restore those streets to at least the pre-construction condition?
Well, that's a great point. And I think, Carl, this kind of goes back with you a little bit on the 2014 case, is that we weren't assessed anything like that in years past. I have a project right now that's going through, and John and Richard and myself, along with several others in city staff and on the development side, have worked together to associate a fee, exactly what you're talking about. And John, we talked about that. It's $150,000. And John said that $150,000 is, I'm going to need to do road maintenance once your development takes place. And I need that $150,000 to go toward that.
But that's a negotiation.
Whether I like it or not.
Negotiated per the project, right? Per project?
Well, that was negotiated for that specific project. And that's really the only one that I have an example of. But that's something that the developer is saying, whoa, where's this coming from? You know, and he's agreed to it. But that goes back to the predictability part. If we have something that would take care of exactly what you're referring to, is saying, hey, we need to make sure that the roads, we don't deteriorate the roads further than what they are right now post-development, then that's something that's out there that we know going into it what we're going to have
sure.
to take care of.
I think we need some kind of funding mechanism that is entices or basically emphasizes the need to maintain the integrity of the roads. In other words, if you pay a fee up front and say, we're going to give you $150,000, after that, you can just tear the roads up all you
right.
want.
Now, we also
want to be incentivized to keep the condition of those roads, you know, either by limiting the axle size or doing
right.
some improvements ahead of time, spreading mats or whatever to reduce.
Well, and I think we have to assess what roads we're talking about here. Because
right.
if we're talking about major arterial roads that are designed to handle truck traffic anyway, we shouldn't have any deterioration of those roads. They should be designed and they should be handling the traffic.
In theory, but all, you know, from an engineering standpoint, I mean, you put more load on it, every cycle is wearing down the pavement surfaces and loading that street. So,
but if you look at the lifetime of that road and how many vehicles travel up and down that road, for that development to take place, it's a very small amount.
You know, I admit it, that there was a flaw in the trip generation thing, even though that was a recommendation from another consultant. It was not my idea. But that specifically addressed the issue of dealing with new road construction associated with development in particular. I mean, that was not the kind of thing.
New road construction. I think he was talking about maintenance.
I know that.
Stick with this point.
Well, there's maintenance, and then there's the wear and tear from the development. And I've seen a lot of construction. I know what happens in. You take a road that's in fair condition, and when the construction's done, the feeder road's in rough condition. And it just happens because, you know, I know that they're designed to handle, you know, a certain load weighting, but sometimes you're putting bigger vehicles on there, and that you guys are moving heavy equipment in there that really is not the norm for the road traffic going through those some of those feeder streets into the developments.
Getting this.
So I would just like to seek out something that would find a way to handle that so the city doesn't have to come out and use taxpayer money to repair a road that was in fair condition to start with.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I was going to get to it too, but I think there's a little bit of two different things. Your trip generation fee, that's the route we went, and that was the way everybody agreed was the right way. I don't see that addressing the maintenance problem that needs to be. John needs that relatively soon versus the trip generation fee that's over however many lots they have in the neighborhood that doesn't get, you know, built out for another 10 years. So it does go towards the future Scott Boulevard improvement. It doesn't go for the maintenance of that whatever feeder road.
You're absolutely right. They had nothing to do with maintenance. As a matter of fact, we discussed that in the committee, whether or not it should have anything to do with maintenance. There was a good deal of controversy. It had nothing to do with maintenance. That's another issue entirely.
And I think that was the issue he was bringing up.
I want to stick with this point. And the reason is because everybody in the task force has expressed interest in it. The development community's expressed interest, and Ian made reference to it before. The idea of arriving at some objective of an objective way to say that the, or at least some portion of the development fee will go toward things that you guys can regard in your clients. Can we regard as tangible and specific improvements that are tied to this particular development? That's what you're saying, effectively, isn't it? You want to be able to say our development fee or some portion of our development fee is going to something we can see that the money was spent there.
Just an example. A few years ago, some of us thought it might be a good idea to be able to take exceptions to sidewalk variances, for example, put them in some sort of a fund so that we could deal with sidewalks across the city because there were lots of sidewalk needs. We were told by the city attorney that is not kosher. You can't do that because it has to be tied to some degree with the variance itself, that it has to be tied to some degree with the benefit to the property for which the variance was granted. I mean, we all accepted that, but that's the same kind of notion that you're talking about here.
I hope that we emerge with, as part of our recommendation, a specific recommendation to the council that at least some portion of the development fee is tied directly to some, not maintenance, as one of you guys said before, but
can't be maintenance. Yeah.
Rather
it
can't
be maintenance.
That's repair should.
Chris, I think you're right. I think that's something that is going to be in the with the developers that I've talked to. I think that they're going to want to see that. That's going to be part of the piece of the puzzle for them to approve. Is saying I want to make sure that the money that's being assessed on the developments that I do are going toward concrete on the ground, pipe,
And that was the principle behind the 2014 trip generation. That was the whole idea.
Can we not replow that any more times?
No, but it's relevant.
I agree, but it also has.
But I mean, this business about tying it to the particular development was exactly the essence of what that was all about. It may have been flawed, I admit that, but that was the point.
We could tie the monies generated from the trip generation, or you could tie the monies generated from an increased development fee just the same, right? To a certain area.
Well, the purpose of the trip generation was that the development fee would vary according to how much traffic you were generating.
I understand that. And that, yes. Sorry, I'm just ready to cut you off.
And that would be for improvement of the roads, not maintenance of roads.
Capital expansion
of that infrastructure system. Digress just a moment.
Please.
I downloaded the development fees from the website today,
the
city website, and they are charging development fees for stormwater. It's 9 cents for single family per square foot, multifamily 16 cents a square foot, commercial, et cetera, 19 and a half.
There's an exception in the ordinance for stormwater detention, provided you don't have to pay those fees. And according to, this was only like 2 or 3 months ago, I asked David Sorrell very specifically about that. He said, no, they were not charging that. But he didn't have the bills in front of him. So, I mean, maybe some got through or maybe they're not.
If you improve the site.
But anyway, I would like to just go back for 1 second just to kind of maybe go back a few steps. So one thing I'm hearing is the predictability is a really big thing. So the second thing, So predictability is a big thing. So we have to agree on an amount or to get to that amount, a methodology. So you can do that a trip generation route like you had proposed. Or you could do something like Ian Thomas had proposed, where he had gone down this road of how many capital improvement projects would the city ideally need to do in a year and have a total cost of to get all those capital projects, improvement projects done, and then have a percentage of that that would be allocated to the development community, and then roll that back into how much development you expect in a year. You know, you take it down to the square footage, and, you know, he was saying, you know, maybe it should be $3 a square foot to get to 60% contribution by the development community. I'm making up these numbers. Right. But that's how he had worked it. And I like that methodology because it's just a general, straightforward, you know, let's just make it $1.50 a square foot. And
that's where we're
at. It doesn't necessarily account for the, let's do this, you know, my development fee that's $2 now gets spent right in front of my property. But it's just a straightforward, you know, going in to it that you're going to have that. So maybe you need to have another part of that, you know, some of it's allocated towards your part of town or adjacent to your property. Second thing is you need to have a predictable methodology for the maintenance portion, or, you know, if you're going to have a feeder road that gets torn up, and John was concerned about, and I want to take it into account when we're thinking about this, that if he has to overlay the road 2 times during the construction, during the 2 or 3 years that the subdivision gets built, because it's a large subdivision and the road gets tore up and he has to overlay, there should probably be something the developer probably should pay for that. I mean, just it seems reasonable to me. Now, just having to negotiate the $150,000 because the street lights and, you know, need to be improved, or, you know, the intersection will eventually need to be expanded or whatever. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get away from. So, but also with this methodology, it can't just be like, let's do this trip generation or let's do this increased development fee. There's got to be something else that doesn't stop us from going into these concept reviews and these meetings with the city and planning and zoning, where they just, to me, almost seems like they just looking for problems anywhere in the near vicinity and just saying, okay, this needs to be fixed, let's allocate this on you. This needs to be fixed, let's put this on you.
I expect that problem is going to be solved when we finally come to a conclusion about the Unified Development Code.
And you mentioned that, and I actually had that on my list to ask you. Where does it define any kind of objective allocation of fees for the development community? I don't remember.
It doesn't, but what it does do is it stipulates the rules and regulations for any particular category. That is, there aren't any negotiations for the rest of these fees. Those kinds of things are going to have to be developed only in terms of agreement, development agreements, those kinds of things. So the whole point of this is to try and get away from negotiating all of these things.
One of the things, I don't know if I'm exactly on target or online on this, but one of the things that I kind of remember being in that Unified Development Code was a traffic study. Now, that's like where ultimately all these negotiations come in, because you got a developer's traffic engineer, you got the city says all this needs to be done, and they don't necessarily line up, and then what percentage of that improvement that's stated in the traffic study needs to be allocated towards the developer, because not necessarily all of it. I know I brought up this project a million times, but Somerset Village, you know, they had this traffic study that said $22 million worth of improvements need to be made, and then all of a sudden it was all dumped on this developer. And so then you're negotiating how much is on the developer and how much is on the city, and it's just, even though it looks like it's objective because it's in the code, it says the traffic study needs to be done, and you'll do what the traffic study says needs to be done, it's, the nature of traffic studies are not objective.
Which is the challenge of the Unified Development.
Let Bill get in here for a second.
How would this work in practical matters? Not on the angle of the plaza was mentioned. So we raise the development fee to $3 a square foot, and the hospital applied to build that facility, and there wasn't, the city didn't have the money to make the off-site improvements. Would the building permit be issued anyway?
Could you allocate that money if you made those improvements towards your development fee? I mean, maybe that would be something you could work out with the city.
So the city didn't have the money to make the improvements until 3 years from now. Would the permit be issued now, then construct a building, and then just put up with the traffic problems for 3 years?
Well, maybe that would be a stipulation that it would have to be done. And it would,
eliminate negotiated fees.
It's not a negotiated fee. It would just be attributed to your development fee that you would have to pay.
Well, the development fee is not, the stipulation is not for a particular improvement. The development fee, I think, should be tied to the property in which the development fee is paid. I agree with that. I think that's perfectly reasonable. But as to a particular kind of improvement, that is going just a tad too far in terms of flexibility.
Well, and I think Bill brings up a good point, and we've discussed this before. Boone Hospital, for example, let's say the development fee, just throw out raw numbers, the improvements are going to cost $1 million to make the improvements at the intersection. However, the development fee is only going to charge $500,000. Where's the other $500,000 come from? How does that get taken care of? I don't know how that, you know, that's a big question. That's a big unknown. I don't know if it's probably, you talk to the legal department, they probably say there's no way, there's no chance they can do that, but something similar to a green line in the city. You have certain water lines in the city. Once we tap, if we tap into that, we have to pay a fee, if you will, basically reimbursing the city for improving that water line. I don't know if that's something, because what's going to happen is that, well, a catty corner, the next development goes in across the street and says, well, we're going to piggyback on, and we don't have to pay the development fee, or our fees don't need to go toward that intersection because it's already paid for.
Your fee is not going to be used for something that doesn't benefit the property in question that you paid the fee for.
Well, what I'm saying is, if a hospital paid twice as much to do the improvements, can they get that back with the next development that comes through that's going to benefit from that intersection? Probably not, but it'd certainly be nice to think that.
In some communities, that's the way it is. The first developer has to do the whole thing,
that's the way it is,
and then other developers have to buy into it.
Right, but unlike in the county, we can't. The first one there has to pay for it. Use Somerset, for example. Prime example. Let's say Somerset has to go in there and put a lot of off-site improvements. And yet there's a lot of property up there that's going to tack onto it. And now, again, that's a little bit different because there's a master traffic study that's going to assess, you know, assessments on every development out there. But if it wasn't the case, your client pays for all the off-site improvements for Somerset, yet I have a client that's going to piggyback right behind it. Is it fair for my client to come in behind and pay zero when their client paid the full bill? No, it's not.
But your point is well taken. There are other stipulations there. It is the case that there is a plan, and so on and so forth. So there are strings attached to all that stuff.
There are, but at the same time, all the necessary improvements may not be being made for that first developer because he's not, you know, $22 million worth of improvements being needed, and certainly Somerset's not going to pay anywhere remotely close to that because they're not going to put anywhere remotely close to that kind of burden on the system up there.
I have a problem right now, and here it is. All you guys end up, because you're so damn reasonable, sometimes in this conversation, arguing against what we would think of as your own best interest.
Well,
and everybody at this table knows more about this subject, as it turns out, than I do. But here's the question that I have. I assume that a standard non-negotiated rate is a good idea, and everybody has said that it is. But what is the argument on the other side? Why would a city or developers or anybody else not want a set fee? There must be some argument because we've been doing it for so long.
It's not really an argument against it, but it's an argument for clarification. Because to go back to your Boone Electric example, is if it's defined that those would be impacts off of property. So if the property is adjacent, the developer chooses to design the property such that it incurs at $1 million renovation, street renovation need, then that was not really planned for. If it's, you know, back to feed the development, if it's designed in a different way, the $500,000 may be substantial. But, you know, that's what you get to be careful for, is if the development, it creates a greater burden that was above and beyond what a fee would capture. They would have to come up and pay for that.
But then somehow. But a greater burden is very objective. You know, obviously in Boone Hospital Center, right, there is one intersection right on the corner that was impacted. However, if that was already improved, they already put their $1 million to it, do they move that burden down to the Bethel intersection? Did Bethel all of a sudden, well, it fails and it's going to get even worse because of the Boone Hospital. Now, Boone Hospital, you have to pay for the Bethel intersection. Or you have to go up and worry about the Sinclair Road and Nifong intersection. You know, it's very objective, and we got to make sure that we don't, you know, we can't push these improvements too far out. You know, we've got to be careful on that because that's where the development community is coming from. That's where the predictability comes from. We got to have a somewhat clear-cut path on how far we're going to push this out. How far do these improvements go?
Just, like in that particular example, the Boone Electric or not Boone Electric, but Boone Hospital over at Nifong and what forum there, you know, that intersection is a pretty, I mean, it's a busy intersection. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of traffic flow, but you really made it worse with that development there because now you've got a lot of additional traffic flow coming in and out at very close to the intersection. So, you know, the choice of putting that type of location in that place create a lot more burden in the road system right there. So, you know, it's more than just having adequate roads to serve that. It's just the amount of burden that it created in that intersection.
Are you driving toward an objective methodology, as was suggested before, as distinct from an objective and specific dollar amount? Ben?
In my perfect world,
yeah. No, that's a good place to start.
In my perfect world, the development fees for the various types of infrastructure would be high enough that the developer is actually paying for the added costs that they are generating,
right,
by their development. And the development fee for roads, for example, should be high enough that it would pay for this off-site improvements, except in extraordinary cases. You know, when Walmart goes in, you know it's going to be super busy. And that's got to be a negotiation. But for standard types of development, that fee should be high enough that it'll cover those costs, and the development fee would go towards that. And
in your perfect world, would it be specific amount below a certain degree of traffic or something?
We don't want to get to the trip generator.
I was not, Carl.
Ben, let me expand on that a little bit. You know, we have to draw the line there because you say a Walmart. Okay, I think we can all agree Walmart is going to have a large impact on its surrounding area. Is a 100-unit single-family residential development going to have a large impact?
Well, the traffic engineer
is a 50. Is a 300? You know, what is that number? Where is it? Where is the line that says this development is too large? The development fee doesn't cover the cost that it.
We tried to get those numbers, but some folks didn't like those.
I mean, it really comes
traffic
down.
Engineers, and you probably refer to these in some of your work, have developed how much traffic is generated, and you know how much it is to build a road. Those are pretty fixed costs that you know.
But again, we're not trying to build the entire road with that development. That development is one piece.
Oh, well, it's just you're part of the impact. You don't have to pay for the whole road, but the development fee would go to pay for that part of it that you clearly are responsible for. As far as your development's going to generate that much traffic that you can handle this road. For example, the West Broadway Walmart, they had to build an extra lane. And I think everybody would agree that they needed that lane. I think they held some money back. Some of it went for a traffic light at Ash. Supposedly some of their money was to go for a roundabout down on Worley. I don't know what's ever happened with that. But in a perfect world, you wouldn't feel like you're being cheated. But as a taxpayer, I wouldn't feel like I'm being cheated.
That's either. Where we want to be, Ben. Yes. That's exactly where we want to be on the development side. We want to make sure that we come to that. We want to be part of the solution. We want to make sure that we want to pay what's our fair share, so the taxpayers feel like they're not being cheated either.
Yeah.
And we can win. We have a win-win.
Yeah.
How do we get there? You tell me. Yeah. You know. Am I wrong on that, Randy?
Let's let the force of evil get in there.
Not one of them is exactly. The
You're exactly right, John. But the
let
problem.
Me call,
okay.
Let me call. If you take the Walmart out Broadway, it's surrounded by a road network. It has a road leading every direction. I can split that traffic up four different ways. Let's take the Conley Walmart. How do you get there? There ain't but one way, and it's Conley Road. You can't split the traffic up. So you got to go, there's bigger impacts that makes it farther away from the development from what you like. They got to build a bridge. They got to do a lot of other stuff, which costs a lot more money than the Broadway Walmart. So every development's different, and that's why we negotiate, because there is no set way. Now, residential, we probably get away with it. Commercial, I don't think you can. And Randy, you know, they brought together a Boone Hospital. We had a 10-year program, capital development improvement. Everything was lined out. That's all the money we have. They bring in something in the middle that wasn't planned for. We couldn't help them. They had to go develop.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at that. I mean, the type of development has something to do with it, too, because if you put a church on that corner versus a hospital, totally different use.
Okay.
But both of them would be paying the same flat fee. But one would need very little development, and the other needs a lot. And how do you split that?
And so what we're going to have to figure out what's a major impact. I think that's the big thing. Where do we draw the line in this negotiation?
I feel some responsibility for the time of the members. I want to give you guys a chance, Randy and Tim, to add any final thoughts that you might have. First of all, I'm very, very grateful for your time and your wisdom. But do you have any other final thoughts about this?
Well, I think that the revenue side needs to be looked at, especially with if you have a church and a Walmart. You brought that up. The revenue side from that, what goes into the city on the sales tax is a consideration. It's a huge amount of money that's generated by those versus other ones. At the same time, I believe there is a need in the development community. I think, as we've said all night, there are parts of and impacts that are paid for. They're paid for now. It's just done differently in terms of redeveloping intersections or adding lanes or whatever. It's not a good system that we have right now. So I think we are looking for something different, something that has more certainty to it. Something that understands a variety of different revenues, not just one or two, but more than that, and takes those into consideration when they're putting it together.
Yeah, I agree with Randy. I mean, I think the development community wants to become part of the solution. We're not naive enough to sit there and think that we have a perfect situation right now. We know that it's not the perfect system. We know it has a lot of problems. We want to be part of the solution. How we get there, it's a long road. That's part of the reason why we put a task force together, the council did, is to let's look at that. You know, the development community, Carl, I'll admit, the development community has not necessarily been a good participant in the past. But, you know, let's put stuff behind us and let's move forward and try to make a solution so that something that's workable for everybody. You know, Ben's right. You know, it has to be equitable. It has to be, the citizens are going to have to take up their fair share. Development community is going to have to take up their fair share. How we get there and when do we get there, that's yet to be seen. But you know, we need to put the past behind us and try to find out how we're going to move forward with this. We know it's not going to get any better. These problems aren't going to solve themselves by themselves overnight. You know, we don't have a magic pot of money sitting there. So, you know, let's put together and move forward.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate the time.
Let's talk a little bit. Anybody have any thoughts they want to add? I would like, here's my big thought. How do we get language to recommend to the council how important I think we all share a belief that it's really important to strive toward this objectivity and this predictability in terms of development fees. But I don't know what that language is, what those two or three sentences are.
I don't know that we can give anything that specific. I think it has to be general, but at least give the guidance on what the end objective or end goal is. And I'd like to elaborate more on what Tim indicated about forecasting the future, although it's very difficult what we think the campus or the city's going to grow, but if we can mold that into it in some way, would be helpful so that...
Will you take a crack at writing a paragraph that does it?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Anything else about the street narrative that anybody wants to add or say at this stage? I think we made some good progress on it. Okay.
As a while you guys are here, what impacts do you think the city's fees have, and what do you think the city's opinion should be for annexation into the city? I know with the Columbia Imagine that they really try to have kind of dual language on encouraging it and discouraging it, and with the urban service area, plus with all these additional fees like stormwater or the sanitary connection fees, and you know, if we do raise these development fees, what kind of impacts do you think it will have towards the development and the annexation into the city?
I think there's so many issues right now.
The city's good enough or attractive enough that people will still want to come in, or is there a line that we are approaching that people will start?
I think, as a matter of fact, I talked to Pat Zinner today about a situation with a development that's on the outside. It's on a fair distance from the city of Columbia. We want to utilize city sewer. It's a fair distance away. This is something that, you know, Pat and I discussed, and, you know, where do we want to go here? Do we simply want to, years past, we would have signed a pre-annexation agreement developed in the county with the idea that we're going to go get our city sewer, bring it out to us. When we're contiguous, we'll annex, and we don't block the city in. However, the perception may have changed here over the last, I don't know, 10 years. Do we want to continue to push and push and push? Is this a situation where we simply say, let's go to Boone County Regional Sewer District, set up a territorial agreement, they serve it, they have a connection agreement with the city to discharge into the city sewer, and we develop in the county? Is that where we want to head? Right now, Pat and I basically, we talked about it, and this is a decision, and Carl, it's going to come to you.
Yeah.
It's going to come to Carl and say, and to the council, and say, where do you want to head with this? It's at your discretion. You're the judge and jury on this. You tell us, you tell city staff, give us direction on where we need to head. Because there's a lot of unknowns. I mean, I have a lot of questions. City staff has a lot of questions. Council has a lot of questions. And it's going to be one of those things. It's not a clear-cut and dry issue. It's one of those things that's going to take some discussion, take some debate, take a lot of thought. Where do we want to go with this? Do we want to take the urban service area and say, this is a solid line, this is a line on map, and we absolutely do not cross beyond this line? Or is this something that we're going to say, hey, we're going to move this thing when it makes sense and we've got certain reasons to move it? Or are we just going to ignore it and say, we're going to blow on past it and it's business as usual as it's been in the past, you know, many years. We're just going to annex it and go far east, west, north, and south as much as we can. You know, Cody, that's a great question because I don't know. I don't know how to answer that because I don't know what the direction the city council is going to give us as far as,
well,
as annexation.
And every year it's a new adventure.
Absolutely. and it's not a yes or no clear-cut answer. There's so many exceptions, there's so many considerations to be given.
Yeah.
Not, you know, kind of going back to what John said, every case is a little bit different. And certainly that's going to be the case in that. So it's a great question, but I don't have an answer for it.
Well, that's very good input. From the developers, do you see them not wanting to develop in the city? It's a kind of different question.
I still think that the city is the preferred location for development. I still think that it's...
You go,
It's still the preferred location. People still want to feel like they live in the city. Our developers kind of changed their tune on that. I think it's starting to sway that way. I think the developers are starting to look for. I think the developers are starting to look for. I think it's starting to.